Today is a celebration of Sunday school, and we have a theme that we've been carrying out through this past academic year that's part of Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10, and created in Christ is the theme, and this is the verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's been, since the time of the Reformation, a lot of talk about faith versus works. And of course, that got Luther on his path to discover really the essence of the gospel, being the grace of God and the gift of faith that he gives to all people, which then in turn produces a people that are going about the business of the Father. So to really get a grasp on what it means to be created in Christ, one really needs to go back to the first part of the chapter, chapter 2. I want you to listen really carefully, and I'll maybe pause and reflect on some of it as we go through. So St. Paul writes to the church, and he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." In other words, what the apostle is saying in this passage here is that before Christ, there is no spiritual life within us. Absolutely nothing. Now, people tend to think, well, gosh, I'm living. I'm a living being. You know, certainly I can make decisions one way or another. I can choose to do right. I can choose to do wrong. But as Luther was so good at pointing out to us, and what Paul emphasizes in the scriptures is that before Christ, we were absolutely dead in our transgressions. Spiritually, we had no life within us. And that's evidenced by the way that we lived. He said, in the way in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the ruler, the world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He goes on then to express what that looks like. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Kind of sounds like us today. And you kind of wonder, have things really changed all that much? It's so hard for us. We get caught up in certain sins, and they act like a bondage around us, and this will not let us go. And one wonders as we read this passage, and this is why as Christians, we really can still identify with this passage, because the sinful flesh still hangs on to us, even though we've been created in Christ. It's always a constant reminder of what God has done in Jesus for us and makes us eternally grateful for what he has done. Because he continues, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. That is eternal death. That's a strong sentence. So in essence, I guess I could say that before Christ came, we were willingly the devil's workmanship. And we still have little reminders of that life before Christ. But thankfully, something dramatic changed. Unbelievable. Verse 4 says, "But because of his great love," whatever God does for the world is based on a motivation of love, nothing else. God does not intend to do us harm, but good. He has a future. He has a plan, as we'll see a little bit later on in this text. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, here's the first thing he does. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And then he starts this little refrain, "It is by grace you've been saved." So the first thing God did for us is he made us alive in Christ. He planted the seed of faith in our hearts through the hearing of his word, and that word began to grow on us, and we began to believe more and more in the words of Jesus, the word of God, that God has a plan, that he has a future for his people, that God is rich in his mercy, and it's all motivated by his love for us. So God raised us. The second part then is verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So not only did God make us alive, but by faith we know he has raised us up and we are seated with Christ even now. We have seats that are occupied in heaven by our faith, which was given to us. And this is what gives us assurance that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that God would never leave us as orphans in this world. Because even now, by faith, you and I are seated with Christ. And there is no better place to be than seated with Jesus Christ. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's why the church continues to celebrate. It's not that we just look ahead into this world and say, well, you know, when we get to that great by and by, all things are going to be fine. Actually, God has already placed in us an assurance of our salvation. He's placed in our hearts this deep, rich mercy that he gives to us each and every day, so that when we do slip back into that old nature, we can confess that sin to God and he forgives it every time. Talk about rich in grace and mercy. Every time we confess, he forgives. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Oh my gosh, I can't. It's almost beyond my imagination. You know, I think we all believe right now in the grace of God. And we cling to that. We hold that he's going to look mercifully upon us. And when we get to the throne of God and stand before him, we have nothing to stand on except for the fact that he made us alive, that he raised us up and seated us with Christ. So far, there's nothing we've done except accepted that truth of God's work in our lives. And oh, the riches of his grace we will experience in heaven will blow our minds. And Paul says it again, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This isn't of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And here's where we get so caught up, because we live as Americans who have been brought up from the very beginning with good work ethics, and we're supposed to strive and move forward and do things. And yet God sort of says, "Look, I've already done it for you." Pretty hard to accept, isn't it? We got kids that are graduating from college and graduating from high school and maybe other graduations, and it's all based upon merit. When an athlete wins a prize, it's because he's achieved something that no one else could do. And so it's difficult for us to just realize that without Christ, we're not capable of running the race. We're not capable of doing any good. We're not capable of any righteousness outside of Christ. And what we have to have more than anything else is this gift of grace given to us and that he gives us. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And then finally the verse that we hold up for our kids today, for we are God's workmanship. Now, do you understand that? This is not a work that you and I have done. We are a creation of God. And says, he goes on to explain, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He is doing the work. He has made us. He has raised us. He has seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. This is not something that we can boast about. It is his gift to all who will believe in him. We are God's workmanship. God has done a wonderful thing in our lives, creating us in Jesus to do these good works. And these good works, here it is again, God at work. It's not us. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. I know so many people who say, I just don't really know what God's will is for my life. I'm really struggling. Well, I can tell you the first thing in it from a negative perspective. What God doesn't want us to do as we are created in Christ is to go back to that old life, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts of Satan. He wants us now to live in Christ and receive his gifts and live in that mercy and grace and then tell others about that same grace and mercy that he has given to us. Talk about peace in the world. Imagine if everyone understood what Christ had done for them. There would be true peace in the world. Jesus said something that kind of startles me in John 14. He said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. So this plan that God has given us in advance is doing what Christ did. He has just merely given us the ministry and passed it on to us, not leaving us alone, but he is there with us. But this is the work that we're doing, literally the work of Christ. And then he says something that should astound you. And they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So as shocking as that may be, Jesus has promised that we'll do even greater things than he did in his 33 years. Boy, that's a humbling, humbling, humbling thing to say, isn't it? And it almost scares me to even say it or plant it in your mind. Because the last time I checked, when I went to the hospital and prayed over someone, they didn't immediately get up and walk. They were still sick. Now, we did see some wonderful things happen. In one of our prayers for this morning, Jill Kinsella just had a baby April 25th, I believe it was, and suffered a stroke, a mild stroke. And we went to the hospital and talked to RJ quite a bit and then went in because she was having trouble with vision and walking. And so I didn't want to spend a lot of time with her, but had a very, very simple prayer. And I talked to RJ, and he said, gosh, I'm just praising Jesus because of the results that she's had already. It's really been quite astounding, because she hadn't been able to walk. She just in a day was able to get up and walk by herself before he even realized that she was walking behind him. And he said, I just, thank you for coming and thank you for your prayer. And I said, RJ, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in my prayers, except I have confidence in the one to whom I'm praying. He can take the simplest prayer and turn it into something powerful. It's really not our deed. It's Christ continuing to work in his people. And that's his encouragement to us, That's why Paul wants to remind the church that we've been created in Christ. We're going to do great things that Jesus did, and even greater things. Cause for the church, I believe, to celebrate. It's not a boastful celebration. It's a celebration of thanksgiving to God for dwelling among His people, for living in us and moving us along through His Holy Spirit and showing us those things that He wants to accomplish through our lives. God is such a good God. He's so gracious. My prayer for the church is that we just be led by that, that we be about His work, which He has planned for us. Let's keep our eyes open. God is going to do great things among us. In Jesus' name, amen.